Blog Talk Radio.
People are hurting, people are searching, without hope in sight. When you are our guiding light, you've taught us just how to pray. And Father, we need you this day. We fall on our knees and say a prayer. It changes things. Just pray for our nation. Just pray for salvation. Just pray for deliverance. Just pray.
Welcome to the Mosaic Show with your host, Lady Flava. That track was done by a dear, dear, dear friend of mine, G. Wright, out of Washington, D.C. area. He is an amazing man and a very gifted gospel singer. He has a show right here on Blog Talk Radio every Tuesday and Thursday, and this past Thursday I went on his show and was blessed to be on there with his mother and his aunt, and so it was interesting to get to hear their perspectives on artists and things like that. We talked about American Idol, matter of fact, and so to kind of hear things from a Christian standpoint was, you know, it was cool for me. So G. Wright, sending you out big, big hugs from Mama Flavor in Seattle, Washington. Today, I don't know. It's a free for all. I'm open for any conversations that you might want to bring to the table, and I've got some new tracks that I want to share with you. So the call in number is 347-857-1189. Looks like I've got a caller on the line. Let me click in. Is this Mr. Verbal Skills?
Yes, that would be me. How are you, Lady Favor?
I'm all right. You know, I'm all right. I'm really honestly glad that I am, you know, at work this weekend. You know, things have been kind of crazy in my world when it's come to, you know, my kids, my family stuff, and business stuff with Flava News. And, you know, I've been posting off and on during the week saying, I'm not Lady Flava today. Today I'm Susan. So I think it was a blessing that I'm having a very long weekend here at work. I've been here since 10 a.m. Friday, and I won't get off until 7 a.m. tomorrow morning. And it's been really quiet. The kids here at work have been hiding or something. It's been very, very quiet, and I'm not having to do apartment checks this weekend, so they're probably happy about that. So I'm all good, and today is actually the 11th anniversary of the passing of my mom. And so,
wow.
You know, it was beautiful that my daughter, Mariko, had posted it up, you know, on Facebook and stuff. And, you know, it made me think, you know, why am I the kind of person that I am? Why do I do things for other people? Why do I believe in people? And, you know, the reality is I come from good stock. I do. I come from very, very good stock. My daddy is a Japanese Baptist minister, you know, retired, of course. He'll be turning 88 this year. My mother, you know, when she met my daddy, you know, she was a missionary. You know, so I come from a Christian background. It wasn't the kind where, you know, you had to sit at the table and pray and this and that, but I was definitely a PK, a preacher's daughter, and, you know, was involved in the Bible study and the choirs and this and that, you know, in church. But my father was very, very active in the church, in the community. He was, you know, part of a teacher and an administrator at the Seattle Central Community College for a good portion of, you know, his working career. And, you know, I just witnessed my father helping out other people, you know, and always trying to help the underdogs, those that, you know, were getting stepped on and weren't allowed a voice. You know, he understands discrimination. My mother and father being of an interracial couple, you know, he wasn't even allowed the privilege of having his own minister marry him because of them, you know, being an interracial couple, and my grandparents not coming to the wedding because of, you know, the same reasoning. So my parents understood, you know, what it meant to, you know, being stepped on and kicked, you know, at, you know. And so I think that's just where it comes from, why I do what I do. I believe in people, you know. I believe in those that need the help to be lifted up, you know, and I've talked about the fact of being a small business owner. You know, I had my coffee house, Flava Coffee House, for 5 years, this amazing, amazing space that I created, and people loved it. I know the people that came there loved it, you know, but I really, really believe word of mouth is a powerful tool, and if those same people that said they loved it would have helped spread the word, I think that Flava wouldn't have struggled as much as it did.
Oh.
You know, so, you know, I was kind of thinking about that when I...
Wow.
Hmm?
You know what? It sounds like you have a lot to say today. It really does. And if I may, let's have a little bit of a role play here. Okay?
Okay. We can flip the script. I'm open for that.
All right. I tell you what. I am a newspaper reporter, and you are the topic. So, in other
okay.
words, I'm going to interview you.
Okay.
All right?
I'm game.
You're game? Really?
Sure. Yeah.
All right. So, we already got your background a little bit, right? So I'm going to let you expound a little bit more on Flava Coffee House, because that is a large part of where you seem to have gotten this existentialism, so to speak. So could you please tell the people about Flava Coffee House and how that has evolved into who you are today?
Well, you know, honestly, I was dating a man who who didn't like the fact that I was a domestic violence advocate. And he really put it into my mind, you know, what would it look like if you started your own business? And, you know, I never had really thought about that. You know, I mean, I had had my coffee, my flower business for over 20 years, which was a touch of sunshine. I was a freelance floral designer, you know, which I ran out of my house. So maybe I didn't appreciate that as much as calling myself a business owner because I did it out of my home and stuff. And so he started, you know, really kind of pushing, you know, what would that look like? And so I started dreaming. You know, and then I thought, okay, when we as advocates stepped out there, outside of that crisis, you know, space, the shelter where we worked, sometimes we would go to a Tully's coffee shop. And it was just chilled, you know, comfortable furniture, good music, good coffee, good conversation amongst my coworkers. And I thought, that's something I really appreciated. You know, sometimes when people are in crisis, they need that place to step outside, you know, and just chill for a minute, kind of like what I'm doing here at work this weekend. So that's where the thought of coffee shop came into play. And so, you know, started doing all that research on the equipment and this and that, started looking at places, found a great place. And, you know, you talk about location. It seemed like the ideal place of location. So I think that when you talk about location, you really, really need to understand it. I built in a brand new apartment complex, one of five retail spaces, right at the entry to the apartment complex, in a very, very diverse community on a main street. Turns out that the residents don't go in and out that entry. You know, the parking was very difficult to find parking around there. You know, so it just was like, okay, if I would have been smart, I would have sat and looked at that. But that's when it got to the point where you really, really had to get creative on trying to get people to come in. I created it with bright colored walls, very, very tall windows, high ceiling, left the piping out in the ceiling, painted it all black. The walls were butterscotch yellow. A pillar, you know, was red. The floors were green. I had a blue Corian counter built that was curved shape that attached onto this main red pillar that went up the center of my space. And then a wonderful, wonderful young lady that was my youngest daughter's girlfriend painted an amazing mural on my wall of a brick building and children playing and an old man playing a saxophone and an older woman hanging out the window, and it just made it feel like home. And from there I brought in furniture, comfy furniture, chairs and couches. Nothing matched, you know. It was very much an eclectic feel. And, you know, as time went by, you know, I encountered different people and the artist community just started coming in. And, you know, I have to thank, you know, Ms. Flows. She was the first person that helped me start, you know, my open mics at my coffee shop. And from there, Elijah Mued, who was also known as Six Deep the Messenger, became one of my first hosts for my shows. And, you know, they started out very, very slow, but once word of mouth got out there, they just, man, Fridays were packed. You know, they were just packed, and the people became family. And I've told people this story before where, you know, people from all walks of life, ethnic groups, you know, economic, you know, groups, age groups, you know, all came in, and sometimes we're down there sitting on top of each other. And it was like this melting pot, and it became family. And when at the end of the night, sometimes the shows have ran from till, you know, midnight because people didn't want to leave. And people would end up hugging and kissing and shaking hands and exchanging phone numbers and emails and saying, I can't wait to see you, you know, next weekend. And everybody wasn't just artists. They were just fans. And I sold art. I sold art from local artists, graphic art, CDs, spoken word CDs, and then, you know, because also during the years of me being at the coffee shop, it became a book reviewer for African American literature. So If I felt a book I read for review would sell well in my coffee shop, I would make arrangements with that author to get copies into my coffee shop. So I had a small, you know, bookstore in there too. And so that's just kind of where I kind of became Lady Flava, you know, from Flava Coffee House. So what started out as a big struggle and, you know, my relationship with the gentleman that pushed me to start the coffee shop ended, you know, honestly, if it was not for him pushing me to do it, I wouldn't be who I am today. So, you know, I guess I would honestly be able to say I'm grateful for that aspect, you know.
Well,
and his
Lady
encouragement
Flava.
To me starting my business, yes.
Lady Flava, you have seen a lot of spoken word artists come through. You have seen a lot of... you know, independent artists come through. You have looked at the industry as a whole. Tell me this. What is your main concern for both the independent artists and the spoken word artists? And artists just in general.
I think my biggest concern is, and something that I've tried to open up dialogue on, is who tells somebody whether they're good or not. I think that when you step out as an artist, you know, you're making yourself public. And that's kind of a scary thing. And that you then, because you've become this public figure, you have opened the doors to criticism, you know. And then it comes down to, I think, a matter of taste, you know. And so can you handle if somebody doesn't like what it is that you're doing or what you've produced. I think that when you become an artist and you do plan to be a product or to have a product for sale, you really, really need to think about your market. Who is it that you're targeting? How are you going to go about marketing it? Do you really think that it's a sellable thing? I don't think that your mama and your auntie and family members and close friends are the best person to judge your product for you. I think you need to be bold enough to step outside of that, because a lot of times family are just so proud that you're doing it that they may not all give you an honest opinion, or because they are somebody so very close to you, they honestly just love what you do. So I think that, you know, I think about that a lot lately, about whether somebody's art is actually good and marketable for sale, or, you know, is it that they just, you know, don't have the right tools to actually market it?
Well, tell me this then. How would you respond to the criticism, if there is any, that who are you to judge what is good and what is bad in an art form that is basically freestyle?
I think that's a hard one. That's a good question, but that's a hard one. I think it does then come down to a matter of taste. And so I think that if it's a freestyle, if you just do it from your heart and soul, and you have an honest message to it, or there's just really that somebody can take away that there's a purpose to it, I think that then just how you represent yourself is something that's very, very important. You know, and for me, being put in a position, especially lately, and people wanting my supposed honest opinion, I'm thinking that they really don't want my honest opinion.
And how so? Please explain on that one.
I think because not everything that's coming to me is what I think is quality. It may not necessarily be my taste. That's okay, because I'm learning to step outside the box and try to go with what I feel is a quality product. The production of it is good. The formatting of it's good. You know, the content of it is good, whatever. I'm trying to be bigger than that and to be able to recognize. And in me doing that, I'm coming to really appreciate some genres of literature and music that maybe was not my forte before. So I think that if you can step outside and be able to recognize that. But when you say, Lady Flava, what do you think of my book? What do you think of my music? please be ready if I say, okay, you know what? The beats behind your track suck. It doesn't do your words justice. You know, your flow is not good. The words are amazing, but your flow is not good. You know, the tone of your voice, your inflections aren't in the right place. You know, the way that that particular part of your book doesn't read smoothly. You know, and you know, you've heard me say verbal font is a very big deal to me when it comes to reading. Don't send me something that's an 8 font. Just don't. Because I'll just be honest.
You can barely send an 8 font. Good God, that's small.
You know, so it's like if I was to see a book, when I talk to self-published authors, you know, even though there isn't, you know, your books are not getting into the mainstream until you are picked up by a publisher with a that's involved with a distribution company. That's how you get into the mainstream stores. But the reality is, if you're sold on Amazon or anywhere, even if you sell off your main page, the book cover is what's going to catch somebody's eye. So the title and the book cover, really, really think that through. Really, really think that through. You know, then for me, I'm looking at the font, the formatting of the book and the font. And if that's not to my personal liking, I'm not going to go any further with that book. You know, so as a book reviewer, it's kind of gotten tough. Especially because, you know, there are people that, you know, I have a great relationship with wanting my opinion and stuff. And so when you go that direction, it makes it a little bit more difficult to be real. So I really, really want somebody, you know, if they want my honest opinion on something, to really want my honest opinion, and then all of a sudden don't get their feelings hurt and avoid me.
Wow, that's incredible. Can you tell us what type of criteria that you use to judge music? You've already spoken on books, but what about the music? What do you like and what don't you like about music that you are asked to review?
Some of it is, I think that, you know, especially when it comes to hip-hop, I get a lot of hip-hop music lately. And the reality is for most of you that know me, knows that hip-hop is kind of new to me. It's not something that, you know, I can really, really speak on. But I'm learning that there are certain styles of hip-hop that I appreciate over others. So I think that now what for me definitely what draws me to a hip-hop piece is the message. You know, if it's got a story, because there's some great, great storytellers, I can honestly say from the Pacific Northwest out here, you know, that have an amazing message to it. But I think that the beat is also the draw, too. And I think that you have to be very careful in how loud that beat is so that you can still hear the words. And the flow of the artist. So I think that if those two things don't blend well for me, then I don't necessarily consider it a good beat. I think there's also this crispness to the sound, you know, and the production of the whole product, that now that I'm getting more used to the music aspect since doing the show, I can really hear the difference. So you can tell when somebody's done it out of their closet studio, which I'm not knocking that, because clearly somebody who's doing that they're at a beginner stage. They're just learning. They haven't had that ability to jump out there and go a different direction and be able to be produced by somebody like, you know, R.C. Croons or somebody like that, you know. So I think that, you know, I think that you just should really think about the crispness. And I saw April Sin's post, because she's another person who supports indie artists, in how she wants a certain quality of MP3 sent. So, and I understand now that there is a difference in the qualities of the tracks and what level they're sent to you and how they actually sound when being played even on the show. So let me just cut in there since we're talking about that, and let me play a track from somebody who I think does a very, very good job as far as a hip-hop artist goes, and I'm happy to say that he's an artist out of Seattle, Washington. So let me scroll down. Of course, I decided this at the last minute, and we have 50 million tracks uploaded to the show, so I'm trying to get there, but I think there's just so much to, how a product is presented, how it comes across, what your message is, who's your target audience, you know. I'm learning that there's different styles of hip-hop, you know. Going to Kool Out 19 last weekend was an amazing experience for me because, I had never been to a hip-hop show really before. And to be able to experience that many artists on one stage in one evening that were diverse. And so with that said, this young man performed that night at Kool Out 19. He goes by the name of Kings, and this is his track called From Slave Ships to Spaceships.
In a place that's so lost, people struggle to run in place and don't get far. We all paid before asking the cause. Babies inherit the pain and it's turning them hard. When family's broken, there's always a gang. And those yelling liberate, I feel up ignoring the pain. Those who claim the streets are ignoring the same, but claim to really feel it for the financial gain. My life, like swimming in shackles, I'm such a fallen angel with wings of blood and I'm still crawling. Trying a new path, but the gang keeps calling. My first true love could only leave her by crawling. Lost so many friends to the set, and we were convinced that an early death was the best destiny. If you live, there's nothing on earth left for we. The earth hates our race and rejoice when we don't breathe. So, breathe, so. They say, can't she gon' die here? I say, no, I'm gon' fly here. Broken by a life I can't handle. The harder I fight to breathe, the more they strangle. Every time I think I'm free, there's more shackles. Every time I think I'm me, there's more mass of me and my people in the bottom of a slave ship. Claiming different color, chasing bangers away, which will give us some pride and die as cargo in a basement. Never knowing this air above, we ain't tasting. And I want so bad to feel that. CBs and sun, not what I could lose back. My heart turns to iron, maybe from the chain's contact. I want the stars in the sky in my hand so I combat. We're not born to die, we're born to live. But only for a little while, so we get more to give. Anything that sucks that I must resist. My expression is a middle finger turned into a fist.
They say, yes, you gon' die here. Die here. I say, no, I'm gon' fly here. Fly here. They say, yes, you gon' die here. Die here. I say, no, I'm gon' fly here. Hold on, stay strong. Hold on, stay strong.
Ain't a struggle if it's easy. We got the muscle and I love you, please believe me. Fight against this prison till God release me. And only rest until y'all reconceive me. The king, soul, my path, my road, my end. Won't know till I find home. And I'ma battle against what they got for this wet hand on the bridge. You can stand on the fence, but it won't save you when the hammers are click. You can stay a slave, but your master is sick. And he's raping us in the heart of a slave ship. He's breaking us and my heart, it can't take it. All it really takes is the strength that you bang with. So take off the chains and walk on the spaceship. Spaceship,
they say, yes, you gon' die here.
Spaceship to spaceship.
faces that makes liberation. From slave ships to spaceships 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 that makes liberation. Makes liberation.
That was Kings from right here in Seattle, Washington, with his track called Slave Ships to Spaceships. So to me, I think that's a quality hip-hop track. Verbal, are you there?
Hello?
Oh.
Am I here?
I'm like, did you disappear on me?
No. What it is, I have a mute button on my phone, and sometimes I forget to press it to bring me back on. So, you know, I'm going to pay attention more to that in the future. But as I wanted to say, that was very, very well, I mean, listen to me. That was very well mixed, and that brother should be proud, because you know what? It's the tone and the quality, as you were saying. Most people don't know that a average CD that you buy out the store is only mixed at 128 kps, which means kilobytes per second, and that's the compression rate. And when you have one that low, the sound tends to, you know, it doesn't sound as crisp, as you were saying. Me, myself, I like to record my tracks at about 192 or maybe 256, because that would give you the full stereo effect at a high-quality compression rate.
Okay, you know, that's so above me. You know, I'm not a technical person, but, you know, I trust you. I trust what you're saying.
Well, those in the studio and anybody who ever makes their own music, they would know, because if you don't mix it at a high compression rate, you lose a lot of, in other words, you have a lot of data floating around that don't get compressed, and you hear it when it comes out the speakers. That's all that is, basically. But let's continue our interview, because I have another question that I would like to ask you. What frustrates you the most about independent artists in all manner of genres?
I think I would say the lack of education. You know, most of us are on the internet. You know, we're in an era of technology. You know, and I think that, you know, we have it right at the tip of our fingers to be able to educate ourselves. We don't even have to go into a library anymore. You know, sometimes it's tricky, you know, typing in that right word to Google or whatever, or right phrase to get the information. But I think education is very, very important. You know, I think I was telling you verbal this story about how a young man approached me because he's got some artist that he represents, he manages here in the Pacific Northwest. And he was asking me about, you know, some venues out in Tanto Auburn or something. And I said, you know, I think you've got the wrong person. I don't deal with actual venues. I said, you know, I have an online radio show. I said, but if you would like, you know, send your artist MP3 tracks to me in high quality, you know, form, and their EPK, you know, or their press kit. And he said, which I appreciated, he asked, he said, what's a press kit? And I thought to myself, you call yourself a manager. Like, that just went over my head. But so I was cool, because I appreciated the fact he didn't try to front. You know, somewhere you got to start with the education, right? So I broke it down to him. And he said, okay, I'm going to get my artist to do this. You know, Lady Flavor, would you look this over for me when I get it? I'll send it to you. I said, of course, I'll do that. You know, when somebody wants to learn something, if it's something that I can help with, yeah, I'm willing to you know, put myself out there. But I think that education is very, very important in making sure that you understand all aspects of what it is that you want to get out of what you're doing, you know, whether it's from deciding, you know, who your target audience is and how you're going to go about reaching those target audience, you know, to providing, you know, a quality product. You know, if you're an author, you know, like you heard me say, book cover is the most important thing. You know, the title of the book. Is it really going to match what the interior of the book is all about? You know, so, you know, to, you know, making sure that you really have the capability of drawing in your readership or your listenership with what it is that you're producing in a book or a CD. And if you're a spoken word artist, just knowing that right, you know, flow, you know, because it's a performing art. It's, to me, my opinion is that poetry and spoken word is different. Poetry can be read. You know, somebody can actually, you know, just recite it, read it to you. But when it comes to spoken word, that's performing. That's actually performing the world, and it's telling a story. And it's you have to have that capability and use of your voice to grab the audience, to make them want to hear and feel what it is that you're saying. So I think that, you know, shoot, I don't think it hurts to even just get out there and practice in front of a mirror, you know, if you're a singer or you're some form of performer, you know, public performer, you know. I think that when it comes to a book, you know, just make sure whoever you get in, you know, whoever you work with, really research that they can provide the best for you, because in the end, you, the author, you're the one who's going to reap the rewards or suffer the consequences behind a good or a bad product. So I'm talking about whoever creates your book cover, that graphic designer, to whoever publishes your book or prints your book if you're self-published, you know, to whoever edits your book, you know, all those things. Make sure that they are doing you justice, because the reality is the readers of that book are going to be looking at you. They're not going to think about, oh, God, who did he get to get the graphics, you know, done by, or who edited his book.
And that's a very big thing. That is a very big thing. And being a self-published author and soon to be a traditional published author, I can vouch for that. But what I want to ask you, could you please go into a little bit more about the EPK, which is the electronic press kit, because so many artists out there, whether you're an author or whatever, they seem to not grasp the importance of how that should be written and how well written it needs to be.
Well, I mean, it is a presentation. It's that forefront of whoever you're trying to sell yourself to, or you're trying to sell your client to, is the first introduction. And so basically it kind of gives a breakdown of who that artist is and kind of how they evolved from the beginnings of their life into where they are now, as far as, you know, how they got involved and became an artist, who were their influences, different things like that, to, you know, having a list of their accomplishments as an artist, whether it be books, CDs, performances, you know, seminars, whatever it is that they've been involved in, to having some of their tracks, if they are a, you know, some kind of audio artist, you know, having, you know, access to blurbs of tracks that they have produced, and then, or if it's an author or a poet, you know, some excerpts of their writing capabilities. And then you could have excerpts, you know, in there from what people have said about you or whatever. But it's a package, you know, that you can send out, you know, via email easily, that just is that selling point that may pique the interest of somebody being able to have, you know, to choose to have you participate in their venue or showcase or, you know, a show, whatever it is. So, yeah, and there's so many templates online. There's all kinds of resources to just, if you don't know what it is, to look it up, to get samples of it, if you know somebody who has one that has a good look to it, you know, take that and tweak it, you know, to be your own, you know. It used to be where you had, you know, a headshot or whatever. I think, me personally, I think like collage of pictures of what of where you are as far as an artist, where you perform, things like that. Maybe a headshot. But me personally, I like to see somebody get more creative with it. But I see we have another caller on the line, so maybe this person wants to join in on what we're saying. Caller from the 226 prefix. You're on the line with Verbal Skills and Lady Flava.
Good morning or afternoon. This is Charlotte. Poetry is me.
Hello,
oh, bless you, Charlotte.
How are you?
Very good. So what do you think about what Verbal and I are talking about?
I've been listening in. I agree with the fact that when the artist is preparing for their books, you know, it's very important to prepare well. There was something you guys were talking about. I'm gonna have to ask you. I don't know what it was. I don't understand what it is, even though I'm listening. So please bear with me. I'm having one of those moments. The last thing you were talking about. You said an IE something.
Oh, EPK?
Oh, see, I've got all the letters all backwards
yes,
and mixed up.
Charlotte, what an EPK stands for is Electronic Press Kit. And basically, it is a very brief bio. It is a press kit which will explain a little bit about your history. Mm-hmm. What you are doing, what you want to do as an artist, and in this electronic press kit, you need to have, like, your accomplishments, like Lady Flavor was saying, maybe one or two projects that you're working on, maybe two or three people that you can name drop. Also, you would like to have it written. You would want it to be well written without the use of a lot of slang, because when you start to send it out to people, if you send it out to venues and stuff like that, if they want you, they're going to take that and put it on their little flyers and all like that, and they want to attract a certain crowd, if you know what I mean. So because they know that crowd will spend the money in their venue and come pay to see you, you know, if you happen to be a feature. So that is one of the key things. No matter what kind of art you are involved in, you need to get an electronic press kit, because that is going to be so vital. That is more important than having a business card. Because when somebody said, well, send me your electronic press kit, here's my card, here's my email, mm-hmm. and you have some raggedy-looking whatever, you know,
right.
I'm a spoken word artist, I did this and that. They can, you know, okay, well, if that's it, you know, boom, they can dismiss that.
Uh-huh.
Also, you would like to have a very nice picture. Hopefully, if you could get one professionally done of a headshot, that's cool.
Yeah.
Secondly, you need one of you at least on stage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that would be very valuable, because they can see and look at it and say, well, this person been on stage, so yeah, let's give them a shot, or let's give her a shot. In your electronic press kit, you need to have that vital information. And you don't need to write like a whole page. You want it to be concise, because remember, they're like resumes. Basically,
right.
Whoever's reading it, they want to pick it up, glance over it, and say, yeah, I want him or I want her. So basically, that's basically what an electronic press kit should entail. And if you want to see some good examples of some, go to Reverb Nation or OurStage.com, or you can even go on the Neen Network and as a matter of fact, Max Parsons has a seminar, a workshop, if you will, on how to develop a press kit. And there's others out there. And you need to get, you know, need to get that information and put it to good use, because if you're out there, you want people to know who you are, what you're about, and what you can do for them.
Okay.
Definitely.
I'm sorry, Charlotte.
Okay. I was just gonna say that I agree that it's just a good selling, you know, a good way to sell what you're doing. Even like, for instance, and I'm going to ask you to tell us about the National Poetry Awards that you are involved in. But even like with that, I mean, for an event like that, it's good to have something similar to a press kit to explain the event, how it evolved, who's involved in it, you know, what the history is of this group that created the National Poetry Awards, and why poets or anybody else should get involved. And so it's a selling point, you know, of showing that you're a professional, that you have a history as to why you created whatever it is that you're trying to sell. And so, you should tell us about the National Poetry Awards.
Well, I would love to. National Poetry Awards is taking place this August 20th and 21st in Raleigh, North Carolina. The event itself is designed to bring together poets and spoken word artists under the same roof to help celebrate their accomplishments within the spoken word and poetry realm. The actual procedure for choosing the, you know, best or the most loved poets and spoken word in the different categories is through a People's Choice Awards. So there is not a panel of people that would be doing the choosing. It would be, you know, everyone in the poetry community, as well as those who are just our lovers of poetry, get to, you know, speak out and declare their love and interest for each artist.
So is this the voting, is it taking place online, or is it just the people who attend the event that are voting? Or
The voting is done online. It's done at on the nationalpoetryawards.org. I can post that in the chat room.
Yeah, do that.
And there is a link on there that you click, and it'll let you go. It'll bring up a whole big page of different categories that people can vote from, everything from your favorite poets to spoken word artists to even poetry radio shows. So there's quite a few categories, so everyone has the opportunity to be voted on.
So tell me this, because one of the things I had told Troy is when I Googled the National Poetry Awards, your event did not come up. There's a bunch of National Poetry Awards, like, all over the world and stuff. And so he sent me the link, and I told him, I said, I understand that you have a link. But if somebody was to say, oh, you know, have you heard about the National Poetry Awards, and they go Google it, they're not going to be able to find that. So have you run into any challenges around that? Do you know?
I haven't heard of that, but then most people don't direct that to me. I think that probably is just an issue of you probably just have to find a way. Actually, I think if you put in National Poetry Awards, I might be wrong for that. No, that doesn't give me it either. I think he just has to do the tagging in the Google search. He probably hasn't done that. So, yeah, that's probably all that has to be done.
Because that was one of the things, you know.
There is, actually, I just Googled.
Okay.
Although it doesn't bring you to the award page. so. But if you Google National Poetry Awards 2010,
okay,
it doesn't bring you to that. It will bring you to a YouTube video that I did. That's really
okay.
Funny. That's all that I can find right now either, too. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That
was one of the things that I was bringing to Troy's attention, is that when I went to go Google it, I wasn't able to find it, because I think that when it comes to something that appears to sound as big as that, that to be able to Google, you know, that's something that's kind of important, you know. I mean, my friend Johnny, he tells me that all the time. He's like, Flava, you know, because I'm working with two young men that they're trying to figure out what they should call themselves. And he's like, first, whatever the name is, Google it and make sure nobody else has it, because if somebody else has it, you're not going to get found. And I totally understood that, because, and I learned that especially from your particular event, because I wasn't able to find your event by Googling it. So I think that's something to think through, too. But now, how long has the National Poetry Awards been in existence?
This is the first year that the awards will be held.
Mm-hmm. And how did this come to be formed then?
Troy thought about doing this after the loss of the Deaf Poetry Jam. And, you know, he was a big fan of that. And, you know, as far as he could see, you know, he wanted to create another venue for artists to come together and to show love and appreciation for each other's work, as well as to, you know, then be able to showcase to those who are out there following their work. You know, he had the idea. He had, you know, the blueprint for it, and wasn't really sure how to make it come about before him and O Entertainment got together, and they were able to make it come to light. And of course, as I said, this is the first year that it will take place.
Very cool. So if somebody was to come to this event, what can they expect to experience?
Well, outside of, you know, of course, you're going to experience poetry, spoken word, you know, you also able to come together and experience a group of people that strongly support one another. You know, that we're hoping that out of this event, people will have been able to network and met with new people, whether it's newfound friends, newfound business connections, you know, an additional platform for their art to grow. You know, there's a lot of people that have already met each other just through being representatives of the National Poetry Awards, and they have, you know, been able to accomplish some really great things together. And, you know, I have to share a story. My co-host, Betsy Hughes, on the Writing From Death to One Soul, I met her through the National Poetry Awards.
Okay.
And, you know, from there we just built this bond, and, you know, we end up being, you know, not just friends, but, you know, working partners. There's a strong, solid people that are out there, you know, representing the National Poetry Awards, and, you know, we want to do well to showcase them, as well as, you know, the artists that we want to showcase. Again, you know, it's just another platform for everyone to come together, you know, let their hair down. You know, one of the events taking place before the awards itself is the Pillow Talk, and it's for ticket holders only. You know, it's a little, you know, kind of like a additional meet and greet. People get to know each other, you know. And, you know, and even some of those details outside of the art world, again, you know, just the whole event itself is about bringing people together, really. And
so the Pillow Talk is what you're calling a meet and greet or something. I think I saw something about erotic poetry or something. Is that what it is?
I believe that there will be some of that being presented during that time, because it is for the event would be for 21 and older.
Okay.
Even though we do have a few different age groups that might end up coming with us,
mm-hmm.
We're still working on the you know their event for that evening so that all groups have something going on. Even down to parents who may be coming and traveling with children for the awards.
Oh, okay.
Because I know I'm definitely one of those.
okay.
So, you know, we'll make sure that everyone's taken care of. You know, we're planning a movie night for the kids. You know.
Oh, wonderful.
That, you know, there'll be someone that will hang out with the kids. Because there's always someone that's just not going to be interested too much in doing the meet and greet portion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or they might not want to stay the whole time. So we'll work it out one way or another. And then it said for the other grouping of kids, I think it was like ages 15 or 17 up. I think it's 17 and up. They'll have their own their form of meet and greet. So that makes sure that everyone has a chance to participate. But at the same time, you know, we didn't want to have a group meet and greet because we already knew that the topics could get a little much for those under the age.
Okay.
So, you know, so that we don't have to, you know.
Well, Charlotte, look, all this stuff is good, right? But I'm 6'4", 310 pounds. Where the food at?
I'm gonna be honest with you. I've been asking that same question. So,
where the food?
I've been told that's probably something I might have to bring together. So, I'm not gonna say where the food is, but there will be some.
There's gonna be some food, right?
Yes. Because I like to eat just like everybody else. So,
you can't have a bunch of people around there, right? And talking about ain't no food, they ain't going to like that.
No, sweetie, I do understand that. No, they
at the pajama party, I can see that right now. Ain't no food. And people been drinking. No, y'all better get some food up in there. Is there going to be a banquet before or after the award ceremony itself?
There's definitely going to be an after party, as the after party would hold food. There's not going to be like a formal sit down and, you know, full course meal type thing. At least not this year. I think that portion would depend upon how, this first year goes. And what people, you know, because we don't know what people really are going to expect and or want once we get through the first year. You know, if we do it the first year and people are asking about what you said, you know, there's going to be a formal banquet before or after, you know, and or whatever other ideas that come about, then, you know, we can look at that for the second year. You know, don't want to do too much and then it not be really warranted, especially when it's the first year. You know, there's always the budgeting for the first 3 years of any event. I'm going to say no. You know, but there, like I said, there is an after party. You know, we'll, again, you know, all throughout at some point, let me know. We'll make sure people get fed, you know. Poetry and food,
you better be there.
Yes, poetry and food go hand in hand.
That's funny. Well,
you got to have some food. Have you been around a crowd of people in pajamas and they are drinking and there's no food?
I have experienced that one too, and it was an ugly sight.
See, when I was in college, I used to go to toga parties, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they would have like two and three kegs of beer. And then when that stomach, you know, you had to settle that stomach. They ain't had no, they didn't have any food there. Oh, no. But anyway,
no.
I didn't do
but,
that.
Well.
I didn't do what they thought I did, but I was in the neighborhood, but I didn't do it.
Okay.
Whatever. Anyway, Charlotte, I think that it's exciting what you and your group are trying to create. I'm all for grassroots stuff. I mean, you know, Russell Simmons started somewhere, right? So
yes.
I think that, you know, it's just like with what I'm doing with Flava News. You know, it starts somewhere. If you really believe in it and you're passionate about it and always continue to learn and grow, you know, along the way, like you're saying, we're going to do it this way at this point and, you know, evaluate it at the end and then figure out what to do for next year. So I commend you guys, you know, for doing that. And, you know, with that said, I think I'm going to play one of Troy's pieces.
Cool.
Just so everybody can hear the person that who's the mastermind behind this. So I'm going to play his piece, Walk in America. Oh, excuse me, War in America.
There's a war. I said that there's a war in America, and our children, she's dying in America.
Because these so-called soldiers keep fighting for America.
Lacing up their boots, buttoning up their suits. Another soldier has died today. You know, like I know, that this soldier here is underage. Not old enough to buy cigarettes, not old enough to buy liquor, but in the government's eyes, he was old enough to be another
USA victim.
There's a war in America. I said that there's a war in America, and my child is at war.
They worry about you African Americans walking down the street.
But they don't say nothing when it comes to
1500 covenant sheets.
They worry about Michael Vick and dogs and such. But does the government really love dogs that much? You might as well legalize ism. There's a war in America. I said that there's a war in America, and my child is at war.
Racism, nationalism, anti-Semiticism.
These are some of the things that you just want to call Americanism. So there's a war in America. I said that there's a war in America, and my child is at war.
My child is only 7 years old, but I guarantee when she comes 20, she's gonna be fighting for America.
I don't believe that. She's gonna be standing next to me, holding guns in back, holding my back here in America. There's a war in America. I said that there's a war in America. There's a war in A-M-E-R-I-K-K-K-A, America. And if you didn't hear me, there's a war in
A-M-E-R-I-K-K-K-A, America.
Cause there's a war in America. I said that there's a war in America. And my child is at war. Your child is at war. Our children are at war here in America. Cause there's a war in America.
I said that there's a war in America. And my child is at war.
In America.
Okay, that was Troy, the mastermind behind this event that Charlotte's speaking of, the National Poetry Award 2010.
Yeah, that's a nice piece.
So now, Charlotte, do you have any audios of your pieces?
I do not at this point.
Okay.
However, I am working on my first CD. I just laid down the initial tracks last week, and I'll be back in the studio this week to do the fine tuning and stuff.
Okay.
So I'll have tracks next month.
Now, at this particular event, are poets encouraged to sell product if they have product to sell?
That is a really good question. I'm going to just say yes, because it's about networking, too. So,
okay.
You know, there's no limitations upon, you know, people have CDs or... and bringing, you know, books with them. There's
mm-hmm.
been no limitations set for that.
Okay.
And if for some reason I'm told no, then I guess I will have to publicly recant that. But I don't see that being an issue.
Well, it might be a little fee involved, because that would be a money-making opportunity from my standpoint. You know, anybody who have any product, charge them $2 to sell it. But
right.
Anyway, that's just my opinion, you know. I'm just verbal skills.
Mm-hmm.
What do I know?
And, you know, verbal skills, you are right about that. But I also, just from what I gather as Troy put together the event, you know, he's not trying to make money off of the artist. So I couldn't imagine there being, you know, some fee put up just because they brought their books and stuff with them.
Well,
okay.
I was part of a literary event in Seattle, a national literary event, and we had artists, authors, and I mean, Quiet Storm from North Carolina came to Seattle, and Robert, you know, Sells came from Indiana, you know. So not only authors, but, you know, spoken word artists
mm-hmm.
came and participated in this. And it was free at that point because it was, you know, just the second year of doing this particular event. But we did charge anybody that wanted to have a table, because we mm-hmm. also, during that three-day event, we had a bazaar. And so
mm-hmm.
We invited the public from Seattle to come in and meet the artists and authors and be able to, you know, find out about their literature and product and buy their things. And so
mm-hmm.
we did charge the people a fee
mm-hmm.
to have a table if they had product to sell. So, I mean, that's just something to think about.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, depending on where you're hosting the event, you know, it's another way of just covering the expenses of the event. But I'm going to jump into another track, and because I've got R.C. Croons in the chat room, I know he's a busy man or whatever, I would love for him to call in and just talk about, you know, the production, because he's a producer out here in Seattle. I'm going to play one of his tracks. I believe this is one of his favorites. This is Wojak. I saw this artist perform at Cool Out 19, and his track is called In the City.
Yeah, you know what, Wojak, broadcasting live from another undisclosed location, giving you the truth like no other in a time, but you know what happens to young black males. RC, the trackaholic. Brand new music. Exclusive. General Wojak. I'm like rusty bear trap to snap heavily. I'm in the flesh, my heart beats the melody. Enemies telling me not to worry about felonies, but murder is the tool that we use to combat jealousy. Suckers are selling me wolf tickets and fairy tales. I'm walking a straight path, avoiding the scary jails. Mary Wells, Bobby Womack, my bloodline. I'm a new star, I burn with infinite sunshine. And blind darkness keep them locked in a mountain cave. I'm stomping with Bigfoot's feet over these mountain graves. I'm counting days down to Armageddon Tower,
You can walk with a thousand flowers and pray that's enough power. I'm warning you cowards, change your ways or cut off your face before your coworkers show up, shoot up your office space. The topic is cops and race. I'm a prophet case, forget the Ten Commandments. This is how we should operate. There were 8 million stories of love, pain, and glory.
It makes me wonder why we're crying, people lying, babies dying in the city.
There were 8 million stories of love, pain, and glory. Yeah, it's a smog alert, plus the fog is thick. The wolves are out, the Bloods and Crips. FBI, CIA, plus the cops are sick, hunting humans and locking this up over politics. Don't vote for me, vote for God's coming. Even a black president can make it stop running. The blood's heavy, spirit of man's wandering. American ghost town, shotguns are thundering. I'm blowing holes, lost souls, and still angry. Unsolved murdering, kid, it ain't changing. Don't blame me, I see it for what it is. So I'm telling the kids, this ain't the way that the people live. Enough to be murderous. We need an operation to cut out the germs that's hurting us. For me and you, I'm a certified 45 service pistol. One shot shattered your crystal. For all the lies and the setups and the traps and the lost paths to keep your boot upon our back. Too hungry to relax on the track hitting hurdles. I'm a panther, you're a turtle. I'm praying your milk curdles. A rapping witch doctor, I put a hex on you. It probably ain't cool, but I'm really wishing death on you. Hope a dinosaur really step on you. This is my vision, my nightmare, my daydreams, my mission.
I'm a hustler, riding, living, grinding, dodging one-time guns and sirens in the city.
There were 8 million stories of love, pain, and glory.
It makes me wonder why we're crying, people lying.
Okay, that was In the City by the artist known as Wojak. You can find this track on the CD that is out called Full Circle. It's available on iTunes, Amazon.com, another record store on Rainier. You can go find out more information at www.CIDE. Oh, did I spell it wrong? Sideways, WAYZ.com, that's RC's website, and you can find out more information about all the artists that he works with here on the West Coast. So, anyway, I thank the two of you for, you know, coming on the air with me today. I'm all for, you know, hey, spilling my guts and letting everybody else spill, you know, their guts too, and you know, I thank you, Charlotte, for calling in because I did not know all this information about, you know, what was going on with the National Poetry Awards. So I appreciate, you know, learning that and being able to share that with our listeners here on the Mosaic Show.
All right, thank you for having me.
Oh, no problem, darling. Anytime, you know, you're welcome to come back. So now you have to let us know about, you know, Betsy being on Bad Boy Number 1 and Number 2 show today.
Yes, she's doing a feature interview today on Bad Boy's Kitchen at 3 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Central, 6 p.m. Eastern. It's her first interview with the Bad Boy's Kitchen, and she'll be revealing some new tracks that she had just got through doing in the studio a few weeks back. Okay. And as well as she'll be presented with a special birthday weekend gift. It's a little something I put together for her. Well, since I know she's not listening today because she should be in church at this time. I had created her own website for her so that she has something for venues to go to when, you know, she wants to be booked for a show. They could check out her work.
Okay.
Where's
Bessie
based out of?
She's in Augusta, Georgia.
Oh, okay. Well, what a wonderful surprise. I know she's going to be just so excited.
I hope so. I hope so, yeah. She's been excited
oh,
all weekend.
You should have told me because I just texted her that. It was a surprise.
You just text her. you pull my leg, right?
Yeah.
Okay, now. Oh my God, because my heart just about stopped.
I'd help you go out there to South Carolina and beat him down, Charlotte, if he did. Well, we've only got about 14 minutes left in the show, and Charlotte, you're welcome to stay on the air with Verbal, because it sounds like Verbal's going to just, you know, be my co-host today, so you're welcome
okay.
to stay on the air with us if you want. So, Verbal, do you have anything else you want to say, or I can play some tracks?
Well, just briefly, once again, Flavor Magazine is asking all artists, independent authors, anybody who is an independent artist in whatever genre, to donate $1 a month. $1 a month is all Flavor Magazine is asking, and it isn't too much because we all need to help support each other because you never know. You just don't never know. $1 a month reinvesting in yourself. Can
it's so
I say
funny.
Some
I think
more?
I'm going to... I think that I should just change my name to Flavor Magazine because you're the only one who calls me Flavor Magazine, you know, so it sounds so good coming out of your mouth. Maybe I should be Flavor Magazine now.
Well,
oh.
You can be whatever you want to be, but the cause is important. You know, this
but
is
anyway,
your show, and I come to your show, Lady Flavor, because I believe in what you're trying to do. I really do, and I'm just trying to help in my own small way. And I know it's hard out there when you're struggling, and sometimes it gets a little frustrating because, you know, things aren't happening, and you know, you have a vision, and it seems to get cloudy. But you need to hang in there. You need to keep trying because eventually, you know, if you poke enough holes in a dam, it's going to bust.
I think that, and I appreciate what you're saying, Verbal. You know, I've been supporting independent artists locally to nationally since about 2005. And, you know, I started Flavor News under the umbrella of Flavor Coffee House, and I started Flavor News in February of 2007. You know, this is when I started to really push and go strong when I closed Flavor Coffee House in 2008. And, you know, this is like, okay, do I go find a real job? I mean, it's kind of difficult to think about finding a real job, you know, when you've worked for yourself for such a long time. So I do, right now I'm at my job. I work for Friends of Youth. I work with at-risk homeless youth. Which I absolutely love my job, you know, but I push hard with Flavor News. For those of you that know me anywhere out there on the internet, you know, I push hard. It's because I believe, and I believe in helping, you know, to shine the light on, you know, the underdogs, the underground indie artists. And so, you know, I try to come up with different creative ways to help do this that fits within my time frame, that's something I can really honestly commit to and feel like I'm effective at. And I think that, you know, now I'm starting to feel as if people are paying attention. But I do have, as Verbal Skills was talking about, I have a $1 donation drive going on right now. And I am. I'm asking anybody who's associated and believes in what we are doing through Flava News to give $1 a month. I am trying to build $1 at a time an Indie Artist Grant Foundation. Right now I have $281.60 that has been donated to that. In July, on July 10th here in Seattle, Washington, I'm hosting an Indie Artist Showcase with all proceeds of that particular showcase going towards the Flava News Indie Artist Grants. By that point, I'm hoping to have raised $1,000 to at least give out two $500 grants to indie artists from anywhere across the United States. And so, you know, shoot, if I can raise more than that, then that means either larger grants can be given out or more artists can be supported. The applications will be made available in June. We have a committee that's going to, you know, help, you know, come up with the criteria of the grant application and the process of choosing who can receive the grant at this time. The other requirement is that you are a member of Flava News Society. So, you know, the reason that I decided that is because I want for the committee to be able to see how active the artist is in pumping themselves, you know, how they create their hype. Because it's one thing to be able to put something on paper as far as why you should receive a grant and tell a story as far as, you know, in words. But when the proof is in the pudding and seeing what your actual actions are as an artist and showing, that's why I'd like you to, and one of the requirements is to join www.flavanews.ning.com and become an active member over there. And, hey, let's just make it happen. I mean, I know one of the things that holds many artists back is lack of finance. And Flava News is wanting to help create some options for, you know, for the indie artists to be able to continue to move forward. There's so many deserving artists out there, you know, that I wish I had a whole lot of money that I could sit down and help fund some projects for. So, you know, I thank everybody that came out to this particular show and that has come out to, you know, past shows that we have done under the umbrella of Flava News. I appreciate those that have come and listened live and to those in the chat room, to those that come back and listen to the archives. I have to tell you, this archives thing is absolutely amazing to me. I appreciate those that come back and listen to the archives. It's, of course, way bigger than the numbers that listen live. But I have to tell you, when we had Giorgio Brown on the show from Cool Out Network and R.C. Croons from Sideways Productions, the Trackaholic. Oh, my God, that was the biggest listenership that we had live on that particular show. And honestly, coming back to the archives, do me a favor and talk because my work phone's ringing right now. So if you could talk for me verbal, I appreciate it.
Yes, once again, that was Lady Flava, and once again, we are only asking for $1 a month, not a week, a month, not a day, or not an hour, just $1 a month to help support the artists, the independent artists, authors, or, you know, of Flava Magazine, and that's what we're trying to do, and it's for a good cause, and it's reinvesting into yourself. I mean, we have young, aspiring artists such as Charlotte and Betsy Hughes, and also we have people in the chat room who might need that helping hand, and we're trying to give it to them, and that's through the aid and help of Flava Magazine. I just want to know if they're going to have any food there on July 10th, too. Because at least I know I'm going to get at least two meals this summer, you know?
Wow.
At the National Poetry Awards, I'm going to be able to get some food. And then when I go to Seattle, I'm going to get some food there, too. So, you know, I'm looking forward. So, y'all got to send that,
you know,
gotta send that dollar in.
When you come to Seattle, Washington, I am having you over to my house, and I will cook for you personally, okay?
Wow. You mean you are going to cook a home? You know how hard it is to cook a home-cooked meal when you're up late at night trying to create all through the day, because I keep some crazy hours, right? And sometimes I don't get to eat properly. I eat, but I don't eat properly, you know. But anyway, I'm going to look forward to that Lady Flavor. When I get out there in my Timberlands, I'm going to come straight to your house.
That's right. Slumber party at Flavor's house the weekend of July 10th. So anybody that wants to come in.
Oh, wait a minute. Charlotte's out there, too. Charlotte, can you cook?
Yes, Charlotte's here.
Oh, boy, I can cook.
You can cook, I mean, good food.
Yes, I am, even though I'm born and raised in the city, I'm Southern girl at heart because of my family roots.
Okay, well, when I leave your house, I'm coming to
Charlotte's
house.
And you'll leave a big, fat, happy man.
Yes. Wow, a big, fat, happy man. Well, you know what?
That's
better
funny.
Than being a skinny, sad man. So I take that. But once again, $1, 1 month, and we can do this. We can get to those goals.
Well, and like I said, I mean, I've already received $281.60 that's sitting in my grant foundation. So I believe that, you know, we can definitely meet, you know, the goal that Flavor News has made, you know, if nothing else, just strictly from that particular event. I'm so excited. This is my 50th birthday, and I'm throwing a showcase for my birthday, so I'm very, very excited. Also, I'm going to ask those of you that are in the city, Seattle area, to go over to flavornews.com and sign up for my email list. We are actually hosting our first hip-hop showcase here in a few weeks. We've not made it public. We have private invites that are going out. But we will be opening up a few slots for advanced ticket sales for this particular event. So if you would go over to www.flavornews.com and hit the event ticket page and just send me a message so that I have your name if you're interested in being involved. I'm so, so excited about, you know, being a part of putting on this event. Who would have ever thought, you know, 2 years ago Lady Flavor would be involved with hip-hop? But you know what? I have to tell you, I'm loving it. I love the energy. I could rave up and down about what I experienced at Cool Out 19. It's a memory
Did
that
you
is
wear
going
leopard
through.
Prints?
No, I didn't. I think even
wow.
RC called me out on that. I wore zebra. I was looking cute, wasn't I, RC? But anyway, no, I really struggled with that because I had told them I was going to wear leopard print, and I found this cute zebra jacket, and no, I had to do the zebra thing. But, you know, we stayed in the theme of, you know, animal print. So,
you know those leopards aren't going to like you, right? Because you're always talking
okay.
about your leopard prints, and then you go to a zebra. That ain't right.
That's okay.
That's not
right. I was looking cute sitting up there on my pink laptop up there in the VIP loft. So I have to give a big shout out to Giorgio Brown. I appreciate the love and respect that you gave to me that night. I felt like I was somebody special that night. So I appreciate that big time. I also, you know, want to give a shout out to RC Kroons, you know, for his involvement in that particular event, because that was not an easy night to put together and coordinate and all of that. So many artists, so many people. I took pictures. Go check out my Facebook. I took pictures. I finally got all the pictures up. There was hundreds and hundreds of people there that night. But if you missed the event and you want to check it out, you can go to www.itbnw.com and click on Cool Out 19, and you can check it out live. They have the cameras there filming it. So the show is almost over. I want to thank Charlotte for coming by the show today and sharing this time with us and sharing with us about the National Poetry Award. I thank Verbal Skills for, like, coming on and interviewing me and letting me share a little bit different stuff about myself and how I think. I believe in real talk. I believe in keeping it real. I don't like sugarcoating stuff, and I think I've done plenty of sugarcoating in my life as a cheerleader. So it's about real talk and keeping it real with you, the indie artist. So thank you to those that came out to listen to the show live,
thank you.
Those in the chat room, and to those that come back and listen to the archive. Stay tuned. We will be back Wednesday at 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. We are going to have a feature on there from three Pacific Northwest artists that are from Lynx Records out of the Tacoma area, and I'm very excited to have TVR coming live to us on Wednesday at 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. So thank you so much, Verbal and Charlotte, and everybody have a blessed day. Bye-bye.
Bye.